So, this talk is an introduction to Windows Azure Media Services. Do we have any media services experts in the room? No? One? Two? Okay. Can you come present this? No. Okay, so I guess media services is a new area of interest for me. I've only just started working with it. So what I'd like to give you in this deck is basically an overview of what I wish I knew when I first started. So hopefully it gives you guys a leg up. But yeah, it's something that I'm still getting across, so let's see how we go. My name's Nick Harris. I'm a technical evangelist for Windows Azure. You can get me on Twitter at CloudNick. I work for Microsoft Corp in Redmond. How many people here were at the last session, the mobile services session? A couple people. Well, thank you for coming back. All right. Let's get started here. So in this, I'm going to give you an introduction to the Windows Azure portal and where media services sits within that. We'll have a look at how we can upload and encode content utilizing the portal. Following that, we'll look at the REST API and the .NET SDK and see how you can upload videos programmatically. Sorry about that. We'll see how you can programmatically upload and encode content. Following that, we'll look at the consuming side of things. How do I go and consume this content that's been encoded from Windows 8, Windows Phone, and HTML-based applications? Lastly, we'll look at sort of advertising as a way of monetizing your apps. So with that, let's see how we go. So if you're trying to build out a solution that provides sort of streaming-based content, think of your Netflix, your YouTubes, those types of services. One of the typical challenges you have is trying to get that data to all these devices that are available in market today, be it, you know, your Windows Store apps, your Windows Phone apps, iOS, TVs, set-top boxes, all these sorts of things. There's a number of challenges, and media services is really about trying to break down those challenges and make it easier for you to implement solutions that span these broad target platforms. So multiple formats, multiple bit rates, that's another part of the challenges. You know, Apple-based devices as opposed to Windows-based devices support different streaming formats. So basically smooth streaming versus Apple ALS. And these challenges basically include, is that showing me different slides here? If I'm building out this solution, I have a number of infrastructure costs. If I'm going to host this in my own data center versus a cloud provider, managing those costs and keeping them down can sometimes be complex. Monetizing contents is another issue. For instance, if you're a Netflix type provider, you may want to protect your content such that it's only usable for, say, watching one time or one time within 24 hours. You may also want to perhaps provide in-app advertising to be able to monetize your applications through ad content being played at certain pieces within that particular digital asset. Digital rights management is about locking them down, and security are another challenges. So let's see how media services can help you here. Some nice animations on the slide here. I must say, I wish I built the animations myself, but someone with much better experience did that. So the first piece or the first step that media services provides you to essentially help get across these challenges is ingestion. So what you can do here is you can take your media asset and upload it into media services to be ingested. Now, to do that, essentially you take that asset and then you push it up to Windows Azure, typically using the REST API and a client SDK across a different platform. So you can securely upload your content. You can use network level peering for fast push of that content into Azure. For large providers, where you may have, you know, terabytes of data to push up to Windows Azure, the simple sort of blob upload type story is not as fast as using, say, some of our partners within the Windows Azure Store. So Aspera here basically provides a UDP-based transport that allows you to quickly upload videos or in a faster way than you would using the sort of base .NET SDK. So there's ways for big providers to get data up fast. And there's also some bulk ingest support there. So The next step that happens is you get this data, you put it up there, but then perhaps that's a WMV-based file, it may be MP4, and you want to encode that to another format. So H.264 encoding is basically MP4s, and that's the base that's used for encoding to all these other formats, like smooth streaming for Windows-based devices, or Apple ALS for Apple-based content. But this, you could consider it being like the chocolate inside of a wrapper. So the chocolate is your MP4 or H.264, and then the wrapper is, say, your smooth streaming manifest around that, which is basically that content encoded into multiple different bit rates such that you can stream it based on your network connection. So we provide that encoding functionality out of the box for you. It'll become clear when we see that in the portal. We can encode audio, packaged to MP4, HLS, smooth streaming, HDS, WMV, a lot of acronyms. Definitely there's a large knowledge base in the media space, and it does take some time to get across. I'm still learning all of these things right now, but I've got a reasonable idea of how this basic flow works, and that's what we'll look at today. So the next thing that you may want to do is, once your content's up there and you've gone and encoded it, you may want to protect that content. So say your smooth streaming content or your Apple HLS, you can encrypt that with Play Ready. That's missing something. MPEG Common Encryption and AES. But essentially that means you can say, if you're using Play Ready, you could go out and utilize that to say that your content or this particular asset is only viewable utilizing a specific URL for 24 hours. So that's sort of useful for sort of Netflix style, where you're purchasing digital media and then pulling it down and viewing it. So the next step in this is on-demand streaming. So once we've got that content, we basically just want to be able to point our client application at the content and have the managed streaming service, which we call the Windows Azure Media Origin Service. That will basically help you to point at your, say, your smooth streaming manifest, and your client will be requesting different bit rates based on the current network bandwidth that it may have. And then the origin server will deal with feeding back the appropriate content or segments for that. The origin service provides guaranteed bandwidth. So what that means is, if you, there's two things with media services. If you just go in there on the default free plan, you're in a shared mode. So if you're encoding jobs, that encoding is essentially done in a big queue that everyone has access to. If you go off and ramp up to basically allow you to have a reserved instance of this, then you have guaranteed bandwidth. So for the streaming content, you have guaranteed bandwidth, and for the encoding piece there, you have dedicated machines that can run multiple tasks at once depending on how many you've added. There's integration with Azure CDN support, so if you want that content to go out and be distributed to, I think it's over 26 nodes globally now, that can help the initial performance in terms of, point-to-point, the end user that's trying to retrieve the data. It's a lot faster to come, say, locally from within Russia than, say, from North Europe data center or even further out in the US. Okay, so these other things are things which we're currently working on: live streaming and analytics and advertising support built into the solution. So they're not there today, but they're things that we're working on. So let's have a look at the architecture here. So media services has a whole bunch of things in it. It's actually quite a huge service, a number of things going on. Everything on the left here, up to the blue, is sort of the stuff that's already in place. And to the right, they're like the advertising analytics and such, live origins in place. So advertising and analytics and live encoding at the moment are things that are sort of being worked on at the moment. This is all built on Windows Azure, so it's a great example of Windows Azure being a cloud platform. So the media services team back in Redmond have actually taken Windows Azure and built this out on top of it. So it's really, I guess, a good showcase to show you, hey, if I'm building on Windows Azure, can I really build big, huge, scalable things? Yes, media services is one example of that. To interact with media services, there's REST APIs exposed. We'll see them a little bit today. And what you can do with that, you can do one of two things. Build on media partners can actually use that. So if you want to build a service that you sell to people, you can actually build out on top of media services using this REST API and provide your own service offering for performing a lot of these different operations here. And customers such as yourself, if you want to go and try and build, say, the next YouTube or something like that, you can also do that using the REST APIs as well. So there's two ways you can use it. You can use it as a consumer for your application, or you can build out, you know, your own business on top of it. If we look out to the right here, you can see that you can use partner CDNs for distribution of your content, as with the Azure CDN, origin service for your smooth streaming and such. Client platform-wise, we've got a whole bunch of player framework SDKs across all of these different targets. And we'll see some of them today. We'll see Windows Phone, Win8, and HTML5-based player frameworks in some of the demos. So we GA'd, which is made generally available. It's no longer in preview mode. It's now generally available with an SLA. We announced that on January 22nd. And within that, we released video on demand support, ingest, encoding, packaging, encryption, origin services, and REST API SDKs for .NET and Java. So I think we should start. That's a lot of stuff, right, and a lot of terms. I think for me, the best thing that I did when I was sort of learning this stuff was just to start in the portal and upload and code something and see how that works. So we'll do that now. So jump over to the portal here and select. So down here, you'll have media services. Now, I've already pre-provisioned a media service here. But to create a new media service, it's just, again, the common new media service, quick create. Within this, you'll note that I've actually already done a few of the little scale operations. I'll just show you that so you can see what we're talking about there. I've scaled up here to say, on-demand streaming-wise, I want one unit, which guarantees me 200 megabit of streaming bandwidth. If I were not to have that, if I was sort of went with the default there, basically what that would mean is that my streaming is coming from a shared server, and perhaps it's not going to be fast or guaranteed, you know, that the bandwidth hasn't maxed out on those. So the best way to go is to go off and essentially set it to provide whatever bandwidth you require. Encoding-wise, I've gone and set two units, so I can encode now two concurrent jobs. So I could be converting something into Apple HLS as well as smooth streaming format in parallel. So we'll see this in a second. So let's jump in. Dashboard is here, same as in all the other Windows Azure portal services, where you can go and watch, you know, current stats of how things are going. But what we really want to start with is content. So let's do that ingest phase through the portal. And this is where we go and say, let's upload an asset. Excuse me. Let me just check the audio here. Probably want to turn that down, because we're going to play some movies and I don't want to frighten anyone. Okay, so let's upload an asset. Now, two ways you can upload assets or utilize assets from the portal, but also REST API. You can use local, so upload it locally, or if you have a blob storage account, you can basically pull an asset from that storage account, which is a lot faster if that content's already in there than uploading it locally from your own machine. So I'm going to select here one of my favorite videos that's been in circulation recently. Call it Scott Goo. Who knows Scott Guthrie? Couple people, good. Excellent. So he's basically heads up Windows Azure and ASP.NET. And I've got a little video of him here to share with you. So what's happening now is I'm uploading that video into the portal. It's dismissed completed there. This is going to take a few seconds. I think it's a meg or two. Once that's uploaded, we can then do things with that media. So let's see here. There it is. So there's a Scott Goo. So that's been uploaded. Next thing we want to do is basically encode that. So I can encode that into formats that support PC and Mac via Flash and Silverlight, HTML5, i.e. Chrome Safari, or iOS devices and PC and Mac. So I may perhaps just do, let's start with this one. We'll call this PC Mac output, okay, hit okay. So that's going and creating an encoding job. I'm going to create a second encoding job here, because we'll use HTML5 a bit later as well. Hit go. So that's created those two jobs. So within the portal, and it's important to understand that this portal experience has been built out on that REST API, which we're going to see later on. So if you're a partner that wants to build out a service or solution on media services, you can build things like this and perhaps even better experiences using that REST API. So if I go over to jobs now, this will show the currently running jobs. So you can see that we've got an encoding task here, encoding the Scott Goo MP4 to, in this case, it's going to be for HTML5. And this is basically taking that source file and encoding it into either smooth streaming format, or in this case, it's an MP4 with multiple bit rates. So when you're streaming this content, it can come down at a bit rate that is basically best case for your current network consumption. So if you're ever watching or streaming videos online, you may note, say, if you've got some huge download happening in the background, the video quality sort of starts getting less and less and less. And that's part of what adaptive streaming or smooth streaming is doing. It's basically looking at how much bandwidth do I have, and rather than stopping and having to buffer a whole bunch of content, you just, the bit rate is dropping down and down and down. And that's what this encoding is doing now, is it's creating those assets such that we can achieve that. So we can see here that the encoding job for HTML5 is done. So if we jump back, and so has our encoding job for PC Mac. So let's jump over to our content here, and we can actually play this from within the portal. Start with HTML5. See output, okay. We just sync this stuff here. Try and refresh the screen. Okay. So to be able to view the content, initially the content is private. You need to publish the content. So we're going to publish this file. And let's publish this one while we're at it as well, such that we can consume that content now. So what this is giving me is a URL, and that's a URL which your, let me just pull it up here, which your client applications can hit. In this case, we're going to use the browser-based client. So this is for HTML-based output. You can see it's just an MP4 file. And this string on the end of it is basically an access token that says how long that asset's valid for. So this policy will basically mean if I'm outside the window that this is valid, then no one can stream that content. And that's sort of good for scenarios where you may be sort of selling content and people only have a certain period of time to watch it. And this is unique. So let's close this. This one here is actually a smooth streaming file. So if I copy this and say Notepad, it'll have a manifest within it. And this manifest basically details what the different bit rates are for this video that are available. So let's watch one here. Let's hit play. Right, so this is MP4. You'll notice that it's a progressive download there rather than smooth streaming. Pretty good, hey? Yeah, I think it's from his college years or perhaps like a Windows Azure party with the staff. But needless to say, that's the encoded content. If we play with this, this is going to use, in this case, it's the Flash player. But you can see that this is actually streaming now. So there's no buffering or anything like that. It's bam, straight down. So that's essentially the experience you get within the portal. Now, let's jump back to slides and have a look what happened in the background here. So we'll go through these sort of a bit faster because we've covered this a little bit. So this was the on-demand workflow. We ingested content. We then created a job to encode that to the different output types that we wanted. That was then packaged and delivered via the client there. So there's a number of steps here, and let's go through them. The first one was ingesting the content. In this case, we uploaded that content to the portal rather than grabbing it from our storage account. Now, Uploading anything into Windows Azure Storage is free. So if you've got large files that you want to push up into Azure, that Azure Windows Azure Storage, that's a free thing to do. You obviously then the payment on that is more the storage of that asset and egress or outbound downloads of that asset. So that upload went directly to our Azure Data Center. As I mentioned earlier before, we do have a spare in the store which provides a fast means to upload over UDP. The additional Azure storage charges there is basically just related to, you know, if you've got a gig of data there, you're paying somewhere around 14 cents a month for that gig of data to be stored. Although I do think our prices have dropped a little from that recently. The next step, which we did when we created the job, was to encode that. So that took the media services, took that blob from blob storage now and encoded it and created the output and stored that back in blob storage. Now you can use the media services encoder, which is basically what you pay for here is with media services, you pay where you're coming and pulling this data in and also pushing it out. So if you had, say, 1 meg coming in and 4 megs coming out, well, then you're paying for 5 meg in total in respect to that. Third-party encoders, so we do partner with other third parties available in the store, and essentially this provides a means for you to encode using an encoder that's not Windows Azure Media Services. Our encoding tasks were run in parallel. That's because I had my slider pulled up to say that I want two dedicated servers to be able to encode from. And again, you have standard storage rates for the output files within Azure. Delivery of content. So there is a cost for streaming content out of Azure, and basically it's broken down into these three tiers. So if you've, like I pulled up to guarantee 200 megabit outbound, there is a cost to having that, having your guaranteed outbound bandwidth or throughput. There is also an Azure egress cost, so that's for the actual file coming out of that. And then there's CDN costs if you've enabled CDN to push that data out across our CDN or third-party CDNs. So delivery of the content, that was the whole flow from uploading, ingesting, which is basically storing it in blob, encoding it, providing the output, and then streaming it down via the CDN. So that portal is all built on our media service APIs and SDKs. So we have a REST API, and then on top of that, today we have a .NET library, which is downloadable via NuGet, and also a Java library. So these client libs allow you to easily consume that REST API and perform those operations which we just saw before. There's also a bunch of, the Java library is open sourced on GitHub if people want to see how that was built. So let's talk about the actual API that we've got here. Excuse me. So API entities, there's assets. So these are basically a logical unit that represents a single audiovisual presentation in media services. So the asset can actually contain one-to-many media files. Access policies are more around adding permissions to that asset, so how long is that asset available for. We've got content keys, we've got files, which are the original source files, jobs, which is like, what do you want to do in this job? Well, this job may be for encoding the Scott Goo video, but this job may have multiple tasks. One may be to output for PC, Mac, one may be to output for HTML5, and one for, say, for instance, iOS devices. And lastly, we've got locators. So a locator is a unique instance of an access policy, and that basically is something you provide to the client, which gives time-based access to that asset. So let's this is level 200, so we're not going to live code stuff, but we're going to run some code and walk through it. So let's see how you can use the .NET SDK to go off and basically consume the same API that the portal was doing, but from your own applications. So let's jump across here to Visual Studio. So what I've got here is a number of demos. Let me close all but this window. Sorry, come up. So this is a simple console application. And what I've done here is I've already gone and imported a NuGet package called Windows Azure Media Services. So if you're not familiar with NuGet, NuGet is basically a way to pull down building blocks into your applications. At Microsoft, we ship a lot of our client SDKs and APIs through it. You can see Entity Framework there. But if we search for Media Services, we'll see that I've already installed the Windows Azure Media Services SDK. So this SDK is where all that functionality is coming from. After installing it, it just basically pulls it down and adds a reference to it for us. So with this, we can actually go off and create those jobs. We can basically upload our content. We can then encode our content and track the progress of that. So to do that, there's a few key things you need. The first thing is an account key and account name. Now that can be found in the portal. So if I come here and select, where is it? My dashboard. Manage keys. You can see that there's my media service account name and my keys are going to load here in a second. Got the option to regenerate them if perhaps your keys are lost or compromised. Sort of like what we're doing on the live stream here. So from that, we use the Cloud Media Context, and this is basically the class that you use to call into the service. So this wraps all of that service API. I've got another asset here. Let me go up here, sorry. I've got another asset here just residing on my local drive that I want to upload and encode. So with this, we start in our main operation. So we create a new instance of our Cloud Media Context. And then the next thing we're going to do is create the asset and upload the file. Following that, we'll create an encoding job. And don't take this as purest code. This is quick sample code. So it's a little bit messy, but it gets the point across. So let's look at the first operation here. Create an asset and upload a single file. Go to definition. So the first thing we start with is basically creating the asset and naming it. So again, just use the media context. You can call .assets_create. Once we've done that, we want to actually retrieve the file that we're going to utilize. So in this case, the file name, I think, was interview3.wmv. So in this case, we're taking WMV. That WMV is going to be uploaded and encoded to an MP4, and then smooth streaming following that. So from this, we create the asset, so now we've got a handle to that. And then what we need to also do is create an access policy. So for how long do we want this asset to be made available to consuming clients? So I'm going to say perhaps 10 minutes. Let's make it 30. Create a SAS locator. That's just a SAS is a shared access signature, and that is a time box token that basically takes that policy and says, create a SAS that's for 30 minutes. And a SAS is that URL representation that we've seen in the query string that we pulled from the portal before. The next step is quite straightforward. Upload the file and return the asset. So let's control minus. Let's go now see what happens. So we pass that asset now into our encoding job. So the upload is done at this point. And now what we do is create a job. Now this job is to encode it to MP4 initially. So to do that, again, we're just using the media context. We're selecting a media processor. In this case, we're using the Windows Azure Media Encoder. If you had a third party, you'd just be providing the name in for that. So we pull back the processor. The other things that we need to do here is to create a job. So this is the encoding to MP4 job, and that job takes the processor that we're going to use to do that encoding and basically defines what the output should be. Come down further, so we now take this task and we add the asset as an input to that, and then we define our output asset as being our Azure bumper in H.264. So to perform this processing and encoding, you need to define basically a little manifest. It's an XML manifest And I've got one here locally on my file system. On WindowsAzure.com, we have samples of manifests that you'd want to do these conversions. We won't look at that today, but basically it says, in this case, what I'm doing is I'm taking the MP4, which was the output of the first task, and then encoding that into smooth streaming format. So moving down, we go and then basically add that job with another processor and the configuration in this case, which come from the file. And we keep coming down, submit the job, and then that's now the asset's been uploaded and we've submitted a job. In this case, the job's going to encode to WMV and then go off and create a smooth streaming output asset on that. The next thing that you can do, like from clients, basically you want to see, how's my job progressing? Is it going? Is it not going? Am I blocked? What's the status? How many percent through are we? And we provide, through the REST API, a way to track that. And essentially, you just pull in the job state, and you can just keep tracking that as you go. So that's fine. What's the next piece here? Control minus. So once the job is done, we actually get that job again. This operation calls out to the REST API to get a refresh job. Basically, it just rehydrates the job object in this case to give us any metadata associated with the output, like where is that output file, what's the URL for it, those things which we saw when we copied in the portal. And then with that, we can grab the output asset. In this case, we're taking index one because the first one was the MP4 output and then the second one was a smooth streaming asset. The last thing that we can do is get a smooth streaming origin locator, so you can use our origin server to stream that content live. So let's run this console app because we want this to get that content encoded for the piece where we basically go and look how to consume this from a Windows application. So these are just all basically the console statements that go and talk through what we're doing. So this is uploading the file. We won't sit here and watch this because it's going to take a few minutes. Excuse me. But we will come back to it. Let's just go to the portal here for a second. Media service. If I go to content, we should now see that the content's up there. So this is the content that we uploaded here, Azure Ad, at 1:36 p.m. And we've also got some jobs creating those two outputs that we saw there. And these jobs should be now showing some status here. So we're encoding to MP4, then it's going to package that content. Okay, so let's return to the deck and see what we've got here. So that was more of the ingestion and encoding of your content. The next step is, what's the client ecosystem look like? What do we have to leverage basically from the client side to stream this content that we've encoded down? And this slide here gives you some content, but it basically tells you where you can download, and these slides will be made available. It'll tell you where you can download the client SDK and player frameworks which are built on top of them that give you, a play, pause, fast forward, rewind, built-in advertising support, which we'll look at in a little while. But these URLs, I'd certainly say grab the deck off online, grab the player framework, because that's what you're going to use to build your client apps. So we've got one for Silverlight, we've got one for Flash, got one for HTML5. If you're building native applications, we've got one for Windows 8, one for Xbox. Then there's a porting kit, essentially, if you're building out stuff for TVs and set-top boxes. Mobile. We've got one for Windows Phone, one for Android, and one for iOS. So there's quite a few client SDKs there. So the good thing is Media Services is producing the output that you need to consume from these different client platforms. So I think with the next slide here, what we're going to look at is what are our player frameworks. So a number of them which we've produced, we ship as open source on playerframework.codeplex.com. The ones you'll see today are actually the ones from there. So that's certainly a link to take away with you. And we build on top of all the smooth streaming client SDKs. So The Smooth Streaming Client SDKs are basically the foundation for the player framework that we built out on top. So today we'll talk about the Windows 8 player framework, so you can use that from your HTML.js apps and your C# XAML apps. That should be Windows Store applications. HTML5 player for browsers, and a Windows Phone player as well. The player framework is very well established and it's used in a number of very popular applications. So they are in CodePlex, but they are, you know, heavily engineered. They're built by engineering teams at Microsoft. So you should sort of rest easy in the sense that these are a top quality plugins. Now, all of these player frameworks are built with a plugin model in mind. So there's plugins for advertising, there's plugins for teletext, there's plugins for basically anything you'd want. We'll see some of them today. We'll do an advertising one. But essentially, you just pull in the pieces that you need. So let's start with Windows Phone. So let me drop back into Visual Studio. So I've created a Windows Phone project here. And now what I've done here, let me show you. So I've downloaded the player framework for Windows Phone from CodePlex, and I've added a few references. I'll show you which ones they are. If you come down to Windows Phone, Extensions. Let me pull this across here a bit. There we go. So I've basically pulled in the Adaptive Streaming plugin for Windows Phone and also the Microsoft Player Framework for Windows Phone. In addition to this, this Player Framework builds out on the Silverlight Smooth Streaming SDK, and I've pulled that in here as well. So both those downloads, again, available from playerframework.codeplex.com. So that's the first point, add some references to them. This project is just a simple file new project of a WinPhone 8 application. The things that I've changed here are I've defined some namespaces to those two assemblies, the first one being the Media Player Framework, the second being Adaptive Streaming. Pretty straightforward. I've changed the supported orientation to be landscape because we like watching videos in landscape mode on phone. And then the last thing, which is actually the important part, is this piece here. So we go off and use these declared namespaces to say we want to use a media player. We want to play from a source. So this is our locator. And then from that, we want to define what plugins are available to be used if the file format is in the appropriate type. So this is adding an adaptive plugin to that media player. So if we go to the portal and we actually grab, let's just grab the Scott Goo one we uploaded before. Content. Scott Goo. Okay, let's try and grab this guy. And jump back in here. Update this source. So again, like from a surface area for your client apps, it's really, really quite, you know, easy to go and stream data or video into your client application. So let's start this guy. Oops, let me stop that. I just started the console app. So to start up project, where are you? Hit run. Okay, so hopefully we'll do all right here. All right, so now we're on Windows Phone. I love the sprinkler. Anyone here danced like that before in the past? I've done it on a few occasions. But all right, so there you go. Very simple player framework for Windows Phone. I think the next demo was basically the same thing, but for Windows 8. So let's jump into my Win8 app here. So the startup project. So in this case, I'm using a HTML.js Win8 app. You could use it in a C# XAML app. Again, the same default template that I've used, file new project. And what I've done in this case is I've also added a few references. So let me go and show you which ones I've added in. And we go to Windows, Extensions. And again, this player framework is on playerframework.codeplex.com. I've chosen the Player Framework plugin, the Adaptive Streaming plugin. Advertising plugin will turn on a little bit later. And this is, again, the client SDK foundation that these are built on. So let me cancel there. Let's have a look at the code. So the first thing that I've done is I've just dragged in, essentially, the references to these player frameworks. So if I say, if you were doing it at home yourself, you'd create the first one by just drag and drop. There's reference one, and then in the JS module, I'll just go here, reference two. So that gives us our CSS and our JavaScript object model to program against. And then to play a video, all we need to do now is create a div, specify that it's a data win control of the player framework media. So this app framework here basically wraps the video HTML element and provides a whole bunch of additional programmability out on top of it. So in this case, we're setting a default height and width, autoplay to true, so it's going to play as soon as we start it up. It's going to go to full screen for us so we can see the content in full screen mode. And this should be source, I believe. Let me just see here. I may have, let's leave it like that. I may have deleted that by accident, SR, okay. So let's just grab the content. So this is the actual content that we uploaded before for the Media Player Framework on Windows 8. It's a smooth streaming manifest that we're going to drop in here. Let's come across. Drop in the new one so you can see the content. So in this case, that console app uploaded a different video. It was interview3.wmv. So let's run this. Fingers crossed. Yes, excellent. I think it was that attribute. Let me fix that. So let's see. Don't know how I deleted that. I am running on very little. Oh no! I am running on very little sleep today. Let me see. Come back here. Source. Is it because of you? This was the next demo there. So run this again. Maybe I should look at the exception this time. Two squares. Did I? Very good. Right, yes. That is my... I was doing this just prior to the session. There we go. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. Eventually here, we may abandon in a second. Actually, I did create a snippet of this earlier. So let me see here. Let me drop this in my notepad. I'm still learning this here, let's see. What's that, sorry? Yeah. I thought that may be the case as well. There we go. Look at that. So a little snippet there. Created earlier. Let's go back here and grab that manifest. And you can do it. Drop this in. There we go. Hey, presto.
Coaches want to win. Coaches need to win. And think sometimes the drive to win can supersede the drive to win.
This is a video, but you can see down here, there's no progressive download. It's just smooth streaming the content.
Our company is called X2 Impact.
All of this play bar, etc., is built into the player framework, so it provides you a reasonable experience out of the box. You can override the CSS that's provided to provide something that's perhaps styled more to your brand. And that's sort of pretty cool to me for something that you get for free, essentially. So that's that. Let's jump back to the deck. I think we've got, oh yes, HTML5 player. So let's jump to the demo link here. Oh, there we go. So this is a HTML. This is a HTML5 player framework, and basically it's HTML5 built around the video player tag. It's a JS script that you basically add in and start using. So you can see here that we've got the PS Core, and player app is the actual source code for this. So this is a pretty complex sort of application that you're seeing there, but if we come down, we sort of not really too much on the client side to start using it. And as far as those other JS files, they're a little bit more involved. But what I wanted to show with this one is something that we haven't yet seen in the other two. You can see that these are advertisements being embedded into content. So if you're looking to monetize your application, advertising is one way to do that. So let's jump back here. And I just want to cover this slide briefly. The one thing with HTML5, although great, the one problem is all browsers don't support it today. So the cool thing about that HTML5 player framework is built into it, we've got the capability to detect if HTML5 is supported in your browser. And if it's not, then you can handle that and perhaps use, say, Silverlight or Flash to go and show that content to your users. So in this case, we used it to deliver a simple video experience. There's no DRM support in that at the moment. It's built around the HTML5 tag. The ads were coming in through something called VAST and VMAP, which we'll talk about in the next segment. And the test app was playing back different media sources. So there was actually a playlist there of all the different videos that were streamed in together. And then the ads were embedded within that stream. So next slide here. Monetization through advertising. The player frameworks provide a whole bunch of modules. Let's talk about advertising. So advertising, there's a number of different types of ads that you can embed into your content. This is a linear ad. So a linear ad can be presented before your main content of your video, at some point in between the video, or at the end of the video. If we go on next, there's what we call non-linear ads, and they actually play in parallel to your video. So in this case, Xbox Live down the bottom is a non-linear ad superimposed on top of your video. If we go next, you can also have companion ads. So in this case, we've got a paired linear ad, which takes up the full content of the screen. I just realized my mouse pointer is not working on this. It takes up the full content of the screen, so that's a linear ad. And then it's also paired with this nonlinear ad that's showing up the top here, and then it's returned back to the main content. Now, our player frameworks support the two common standards for delivering advertisement into your application. So the first one's called VAST. Excuse me. And this is a video ad serving template. It tells the player essentially what to play. So that would be, you know, your ad content. So to define a linear ad is as simple as going and saying, define the XML, put your linear ad content in, put your companion ad content in. Now, that being said, this is typically delivered to you as just a URL to an XML file by your advertising provider. So that's, you know, whoever you may use here within Russia. In most cases, the big ones will support VAST because it's an industry standard. So they'll give you an XML file, then you just point at that. So if we're drilling in this case, drilling into the linear ad, you can see the ad's 32 seconds and it's got some media files there. So let's quickly see how we can add advertising support to this application. So we essentially take our initial content here and we're going to grab a VMAP declaration. So let's go here. If I can, new keyboard, I'm still trying to get this guy right. What's going on with you? Control and nope. Can do it. There we go. Drop this guy in. So the first thing that this is defined is just another property. All of these are defined on playerframework.codeplex.com. So we define a VMAP scheduler plugin, and that's got a source to a VMAP file. And with that, if I haven't made any mistakes with the HTML there, we should see, you gotta love this. Let's see, where's my plugin source control end? Oh man, close this. I'm missing what, sorry? This guy. Is that what it was? There it is. So now we should get a linear ad, and that VMAP definition plays it before. No relation to me, I've been asked. This is an Xbox ad. But now this advertisement is playing pre-roll. There'll also be one mid-roll and then post-roll. The key thing to note here is we won't watch all of them because this one's just 32 seconds and we're running low on time, and I want to talk about some of our... have Natalia come up and talk about some of our partners in a second. So that's the pre-roll, but you'll note that the chop to the main content is pretty smooth, and now we're straight into the main content again. So that's how you can go and monetize your applications with advertising. So let's jump back to the deck here and quickly go through. These are some of our customers today that are using our Smooth Streaming Player frameworks. There's a few big names there. Some of them I use personally. And are you here, Natalia? I'd like to invite Natalia on stage to talk about one Russian case.
Включите. Работает? Да, отлично. Наверное, вы уже в Keynote видели информацию по поводу приложения Windows 8, которое доступно от Yota Play фильма. И приложение как раз использует Windows Azure Media Services и вещание. Немного с технической точки зрения. Что такое это приложение и что в нем работает. Фактически было загружено 100 фильмов в разном формате битрейта, мануально подготовленными, оптимизированным в отличном качестве. Далее был использован Windows Azure Media, Stream, Media Services Packaging через .NET SDK, упаковали в Smooth Streaming формат эти файлы и далее опубликовали на сервер для вещания Origin, откуда они раздаются. С точки зрения клиентской составляющей, это Windows 8 и Player Framework, о котором как раз рассказывал Ник. Еще интересный момент, что используется защита контента, в частности, локальный сервер PlayReady, которому из клиентского Windows 8 приложения также получается доступ. Вот два интересных аспекта, что интегрируется PlayReady, доступ на также в Media Player Framework и контент защищается. Соответственно, на данный момент можете обратить внимание, что доступно 100 фильмов, можете зайти их посмотреть и оценить качество, во-первых, фильмов и качество адаптации Smooth Streaming формата. Вот. Это приложение Windows 8. Это локальное, и как раз буквально приложение было, наверное, стало доступно, когда медиа-сервисы вышли в продакшн. Буквально совпали даты. Ник.
Thank you. Okay. I understood all of that. Sounds awesome. No, but definitely check out the app in store. And you can see some of this stuff all working live. So here are some of the key takeaways for you today. So I know that there's been a lot of concepts here, and it does take time to get across them. I myself am doing that as we speak, and I think if you want to get a start, the best place to start is starting in the portal, and then use the portal to generate content that you can consume from your applications using the media player frameworks. From there, once you've understood that base, then you can work and sort of start moving out into the REST API and using our client SDKs there to basically take your content and upload it. So one of the very cool demos that our team built for Build Conference was the Build Clips application for Scott Gu, and that was all built out as a Windows 8 application that actually captured live content. We took that content, pushed it up into media services using the REST APIs, had it encoded, and then played it back to the audience. So there's certainly experiences like that which you can build out And basically, you know, your imagination's the limit with this. So media services are easy, flexible, and powerful. Partners can build support in through the store. So if you want to provide a custom encoder that people can consume, you'd build a Windows Azure Store plugin. If you're interested in building something for the Windows Azure Store, it's not currently available in the Russian market today, but it will get there in the future once we get through all the legal and taxation issues. So I urge you to talk to Natalia if you're interested in doing something like that or providing a service within store, because she can sort of help point you in the right direction as to where to get started. You can also build on this, so partners can build applications out on top of media services. Customers can build or use it in their existing apps. Components can be mixed and matched, basically, and combined with other on-premise or network resources, which I believe is what they were doing in the case study that Natalia just talked to you about. So it provides you any media anywhere on any device delivered from the cloud, which is extremely powerful and removes the need for a lot of on-prem infrastructure. So related content. So there's a few videos here. So the top one there is the build demo. The next one is a dedicated build session by Mingfei Yan. So she's someone that if you really want to get into this space, you should follow, because she presents on this quite frequently. She's on the product team as a program manager for media services. We did have a cloud cover episode there. There's a whole bunch of media services tutorial videos on Channel 9. This is Mingfei's blog, and this is another one of our PMs on the engineering team who blogs about media services. That being said, that's all I've got for slides, but I'd like to show you through windowsazure.com where you can get a whole bunch of getting started tutorials. Let's go to windowsazure.com. And if we come across to documentation, select this. Select the services drop down and go to media services. You'll see here that there's a whole bunch of tutorials and resources. So if I click in here, you can essentially grab whichever one you want, and it'll give you a step-by-step guide of how to do this using .NET, Java, or REST. All the client-side pieces are documented on playerframework.codeplex.com. But with that, I hope that this has been useful in helping you guys understand some of the capability and where to get started. Thank you.
One question. What about live streaming? If we have an IP source, like IP camera, and we want to put it on media services and provide for our clients.
So live streaming is something that we're building out today. It was in the architecture slide. Now, it's not publicly available through the portal or anything like that, but we are running a TAP program, which is basically a program for early adopters of that specific feature. So if it's something you're interested in, please, after the session, come up and give me perhaps your business card, or I can give you my email, and I can connect you with the people that run the TAP program.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Is it possible to add a linear ad with an option for user to skip this ad after playing some seconds?
For the linear ads?
Linear ad yeah. with an option for user to skip.
I think within the definition, within the VAST and VMAP definitions, I think you can say skippable or not skippable for the ad. This ad, the definition was definitely not skippable. So you can basically say that this content has to be viewed before they get back to the original content. And what's great about that is, like, if you think of huge video production companies, they may say, for instance, if I'm licensing to you to be able to provide this video through your solution, I don't want you dropping ads in every 5 minutes. They can say, with this VMAP, this will define the only times you're allowed to break for ads and how long they can be. So it really means that the end user's experience isn't going to be littered with ads, and within that, they should be able to specify whether it's skippable or not. So answered your question and added a little bit more detail. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much for coming. I'll be available up here.